To welcome you to the first Chazar Shia for the fall 2008 semester from the Aaron Martha Isidore and Lan Kozanski Contemporary Halacha Program, and they are sponsoring tonight's Shia, and it's a great pleasure that they are sponsoring it, and we are all here in attendance. Okay, this semester we began with discussions of topics that were somewhat tangentially related to Yontiv. Hence, the first shiur was a shiur that Rav Sabolovsky gave about Prusbul, which is actually tangentially related to Yontiv because, well, Prusbul has to be written before Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is a Yontiv. That's the basic cheshbon, why we had a shiur about Prusbul. Rav Sabolovsky mentioned that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah that a person can get smicha for mastering just one small area of halacha. And in fact, the area of halacha that we're trying to master now is the area of Prusbul, which is quite small, but actually it's quite interesting. First question is, how can we write a Prusbul? The Gemara asks in Meseches Gittin, Umi ikamidi, is it possible that there's something that min haTorah Shemitah comes and nullifies all the loans? And then somehow Hillel can be metakein to write a Prusbul? So the Gemara answers that we're talking about Shviyas Bizman Hazez Durabonon. That's the first cheshbon. We're talking about Shviyas Bizman Hazez Durabonon. That's why there is a possibility for Prusbul. The fact that Shviyas Bizman Hazez Durabonon is based on Rebbe's statement that we equate Yovel to Shmitas Ksofim. Bizman Sha'ato Mishame Karka, Yato Mishame Ksofim. If there's no Shmitas Karka, there's no Shmitas Ksofim. Again, there's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosis exactly how to understand that Gemara. Halacha l'maisa, what emerges, is that there are three basic shitas in Rishonim. The Ravid and the Bahamar, this is in Daf Yud Chesam and Af, Daf Harif and Meseches Gittin, they assume that Bizman Hazeh, there is no such thing as Shmitas Ksofim at all. Ravid and Bahamar, basically Paskin, no such thing. The Ramban says that Efshar, that Shmitas Ksofim is no Hegmin HaTorah, Bizman Hazeh. Rov HaRishonim, however, do not assume neither like the Ravid and Bahamar, nor like the Ramban. Rov HaRishonim understand that Shemitas Ksafim is Noheg Midrabanan. Fine. So, there's a Din Drabanan. Even so, the prevalent minhag in Europe, the Ramah is quoted in Choshem Mishpat Simin Samaches. The Ramah quotes from a Chuvas HaRash and others, the Chumas HaDesh, and everybody got involved in this. The minhag was that people did not write a Prusbul. And the question is, why not? Why would the people not write a Prusbul? The pashtus is because the minhag was to follow the Ravid and Bahamar, that Shemitas Ksafim is not Noheg at all. The Trumas Hadeshin gives a different reason. He says that maybe Shemitas Ksafim is only Noheg in those areas that's somewhat close to Eretz Yisrael. The Rush himself gives a different reason. He says that Shemitas Ksafim, it's ke'ilu hisnu. We know that the Gemara says I can make a t'nai that I'm not going to collect the chov, let's say, for 10 years. And in which case, Shemitah is not going to be noheg. So I could also make a t'nai in some ways to get rid of Shemitah, as long as I don't do it in a way that the nusach ha-t'nai becomes a maslam ashikas of the Torah. That's going at the beginning of Makkis. So the Rush says it's ke'ilu hisnu. It's as if people made a t'nai. Okay, so there was such a minhag in Europe that people didn't write Prusbul. Even so, the poskim say that we should avoid this at all costs. The Piskei Tshuva quotes in Choshen Mishpat that since Lamaisa there is a shita of the Ramban that Shemitas Ksafim not only applies but applies on the level of Do'i Raisa, so therefore you should definitely write a Prusbul. Do not avoid writing a Prusbul. It should certainly be written. Okay, so that's the first issue. There is Shemitas Ksafim Bizman Hazeh. Now, how does Prusbul work? Min HaTorah, there's this institution called Moser Shteros of LeBezdin. Tosis and Rashi debate this point at being a Makkis, whether that's exactly the same as Prusbul or not. But the fact is, there's a Din Doi Raisa that if I give my Shteros over to Bezdin, then Shemitah does not take effect on those Shteros. Esochicha tashmet biyadecha, right? But lo yigos esve'eo, excuse me, the Torah says that I'm not allowed to demand chovos from my friend, but Bezdin isn't able to demand them. The Takon of Hillel, the Takon of Prusbul, basically was that I am not actually handing my shtaros over to Bezdin, but rather what I'm doing is I'm writing a new shtar, and that shtar makes it as if I'm handing the shtaris over, when in fact I'm not really handing the shtaris over. It's a legal fiction of sorts. I'm writing a shtar that says I'm handing my shtaris over to Bezdin. Lamaisa, I'm not. If I would actually take my shtaris and give them to Bezdin, that would be a din d'oraisa. The din d'rabbanan that Hillel instituted is that the ksiva of the shtar, it's as if I hand it over to Bezdin, but Lamaisa, I'm not handing it over. Now, what type of bezin is needed to write a prusbul? The Gemara says that you need a bezin like Reb Ami and Reb Asi. So, in the early years, in Rabbi Yutam's youth, he said, oh, if I need a bezin like Reb Ami and Reb Asi, that means I need a bezin that has smicha, the real smicha, not like what we give here in Yeshiva. Right? The real smicha. So if you need a bezin with the real smicha, so we don't have that anymore, so therefore, you can't write prusbuls. That was Rabbi Yutam in his youth. Later on, Rabbi Yutam changed his mind. He says, oh no, maybe you can write a prusbul, but when we say that you need a bezin like the bezin Reb Ami and Reb Asi, what we basically mean is you need the most chashuv bezin you could get. So what did Rabbi Yutam do? He wrote all the prusbuls. Right? I guess he was very busy for a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah. He's writing all of the prusbuls. This issue becomes a big machlokes lahalacha. The Mechaber Paskins and Sfaradim have to do this. I remember Erev Rosh Hashanah, actually, a Sfaradi fellow walked into the Beis Medrash. Oh, that was you. Oh, so I signed on your proof. I was the dying on your proof. Right? That's right. Oh, great. Right, so you walked over to Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter says, oh, you're Sfaradi, so you have to have the real thing, right? So I think me and Rabbi Zilberman and Rav Shechter, we put together some sort of prusbul. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but we try.
I appreciate it.
So, Sfaradim Paskin, that you need a bezdin, the most chashuv bezdin that you can get. Ashkenazim are megal. The Ramah is megal, that you don't need the most chashuv bezdin that you could get. The Ramah says that any bezdin writes a prusbul. Presumably, the cheshbon behind the psak of the Ramah is that since the Ramah has this old minhag anyway, that the people didn't write a prusbul b'chlal because they were so meh on the Ravid and the Bahamar, or because of the two other reasons that we gave, since there was such a meaning not to write a prusbul at all, so if you're going to write a prusbul, you don't have to be so machmir. Right? So you won't be so machmir, you write a prusbul with any best in any three people. Fine. Now, the issue that comes up, though, is as follows. Let's say a person wants to be frum. So you want to write a prusbul with the best bezin you can get. So you want to write it, I think with Aaron Lichtenstein's prusbul has a nusach, the bezin hagodol b'Yerushalayim. That sounds very imposing, no? Right, the bezin hagodol b'Yerushalayim, he gives a name. So Shlomo Duchovsky and Rav Amar. There are three rabbanim. They actually use the Sfaradim for some reason. Whatever it was, but if a person wants to write a prusbul to the best bezdin possible, can you do that? So the Mordechai says, yeah, why not? What's the big deal? The Lashon of the Yerushalmi is you can write a prusbul afilo hu b'Romi. That means I'm in Rome and the bezdin hagadol is the bezdin hagadol in Yerushalayim and I'll write a prusbul. What's the big deal? Okay? So I'm far away, but I could still write a prusbul. The Ramah also paskins this way. Right, that you could write a prusbul even if you are far away. So therefore, it's kind of easy to write a prusbul. You write a prusbul, and you pick the biggest dayanim you can get far away. However, the Ran asks Akasha. Right, the Ran, they all ask the Kasha. The Kasha is that the Gemara says that a person said prusbul hayali va'ava. The Gemara says, I'm neman if I say that I had a prusbul and I lost it. The kasha is, how am I neman? Maybe I didn't really write a prusbul, because it's not so easy to write a prusbul. You need a big bezdin. So the Mordechai says, well, you see from here that you can write a prusbul even when you're far, far away. But the Ran asks that same question. How am I neman to say prusbul hayaliva avad? Right? Maybe I didn't have a big bezdin. Zuck the Ran, oh, you know what you see from that then? From the din I could say prusbul hayaliva avad, I see that I do not need a bezdin like Reb Ami and Reb Asi. Zok the Ran, I don't need a bezdin of gedolim. I could use a bezdin even of ketanim, a bezdin of any three Orthodox Jews, three Erech Yidden. That's good enough for a bezdin. So the Acharonim point out, one second, once I have this Ran, So the Ran is fundamentally arguing with the Mordechai. The fact that the Ran doesn't give the answer that anyone could have a prizbol because afilu hu baromi, I could write a prizbol for the biggest benson even if I'm far away. The Ran doesn't give that answer. Michlal, that the Ran doesn't hold like that answer. That means that according to the Ran, I can only write a prizbol if I am in front of the Bezdin. So now we're stuck. You see, if you want to use the biggest Bezdin possible, okay. Right? So you got to be there according to the Ran. If you want to be Mekel like the Ramah, so you could be far away, like the Ramah and like the Mordechai. But if you want to be Machmel like the Ran, you have to be in front of the biggest Bezdin possible. If that's the case, an Erev Rosh Hashanah, the biggest Bezdin around, is going to be really, really busy. Everyone's going to be going to them. So that's a big problem. Maybe that's what you have to do. But the fact is, you can't really have it both ways. If you hold that you need the biggest Bezdin possible, so then, l'chora, you also have to be Megol, like the Mordechai, that Shalom B'fnehem. And if you say that, well, you want to hold like the Ran, so it's going to be very difficult to do the Ran unless you're going to be Megol on the level of the Bezdin. That's the basic problem that emerges in Prizbol, that the Ran and the Mordechai are a tension. If you want to be Machmir for one, you can't be Machmir for the other. Now, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, in his Sefer, Rav Sabalovsky didn't mention this, but in Rav Yatz Rimon's Sefer called Shemitah, they print Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Prizbol. Rav Aaron had a chap to be Yotzei both, and they found that Rav Moshe Sternbuch, in his Sefer Hashviyas Kehochasa, I think it's called, Rav Moshe Sternbuch also has this, which is that he made a Prizbol on a Tznai. He has three people in front of him, three Ketanim. He says like this, okay, if the halacha is I need a Bezdin Bifneihem, right, so I'm giving it over to these three people in front of me. But if the halacha is that the Mordechai is right, and I can make a Prizbol, Afilu Hu Baromi, even if you're far away, so if that's the halacha, so then I have these three people serve as Edim, then I'm being Moiser my Chovos to the big Bezdin in Yerushalayim. That was the Tznai that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein made to try to be Yotze both the Mordechai and the Ran. It's also worth noting that how would the Ran understand Afilu Hu Baromi? It's a Beferish Yerushalmi. Right? The Mordechai is right. Beferish Yerushalmi says, Afilu Hu Baromi, that I commit right approval, even if I'm in Rome. So apparently the Ran's going to say that the Hu doesn't mean me, the Hu means the Shtaros. That the Shtaros don't have to be with me. I could have my Shtaros far away, and even so, that's going to be a Prizbol. Basically, there are two Nuskhais of Prizbol. There's a Prizbol that's signed by Lashon Edim, and a Prizbol that's signed by Lashon Dayanim. They're both good. Now, the standard Nusach of a Prizbol is quoted in the Mishnah in the 10th Parak of Shviyas, which is a short Nusach. I hand over to you the Dayanim, right, all of the Chos, so that I can collect them anytime I want. That's the standard Nusach. There's another Nusach that's quoted in the Sefer HaTrumos in the name of the Bahag, I think. The Sefer HaTrumos quotes a very, very long Nusach HaPrizbol, which includes the fact that I makna all of my chovos to the Bezdin Agav Karga. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Tshuva Chelek Choshen Mishpat Simen Yotes, says this doesn't make any sense. Because if you makna your chovos Agav Karga to the Bezdin, you just defeated the whole purpose. Because the idea is that for Bezdin to be able to collect the chovos, Bezdin has to be in a party without any interest. If I'm makna all my chovos to Bezdin, that means Bezdin is now nogeya b'davar, because they're in possession of my chovos. If they are nogeya b'davar, then I just defeated my whole purpose of the Prizbol. So if Moshe Feinstein doesn't like it, the Minchas Yitzchak in the Tshuva in Chelak Vav Simen Kuf Samach, he said that no, this nusach, this longer nusach of a Prizbol, the nusach that's found in the Sefer HaTrumos, has always been the minhag in Yerushalayim. The Badas Eid Haredes does it. And he says it's a tikkun gadol. Rav Moshe has a taina that you become nogeya b'davar, it's like your baba harsha. So Minchas Yitzchak writes in the tshuva that no, it's not real like your baba harsha, that you're not exactly using the neschos of harsha. It's not really that you're giving the shtaris over. It's somehow in between a hin and a hair. It's not exactly clear what it is, but you're not actually being makna l'chobos agav karka. He tells a story over there that Rav Sobolovsky told, that when Rav Velvel Soloveitchik went to the Badatz, right? So he says, Vos is das? And then Rav Pinchas Epstein took out a Gomer Baba Basra and pointed out that Rabbeinu Gershom on the side of Baba Basra and Dachav Zayin says that of course you're supposed to be Makne Agav Karka. Beseder. When do you write a Prisbal? So the Minhag is that we write Prisbal before Rosh Hashanah of Shviyas. The Rosh writes in Masechah Shviyas, in Masechah Gittin, based on the Mishnayos in Shviyas, the Rosh has a Chiddush that really is supposed to write a Prisbal before Rosh Hashanah of Erev Shviyas. This is actually two Gersaos in the Tosefta. For those of you who like the study of Gersology, it's two different Gersaos in the Tosefta, whether you're supposed to write a Prisbal Ev Rosh Hashanah Shel Shviyas, Ev Rosh Hashanah Shel Erev Shviyas. To give yourselves in the Tosefta. The Cheshbon, according to the Rosh, is that you're supposed to write the Prisbal before the Shemitah year begins, because there are really two dinim of Shemitah. There's an Isser for me to demand the Chovos, and then there's also the fact that the Chovos become Batal and Mevutal on their own. Regarding the Isser for me to demand the Chovos, that sets in at the beginning of Shemitah. But the Chov will not become null and void until the end of Shemitah. Therefore, the Rosh says that you're supposed to write a Prisbal before Shemitah. All the poskim, as Rav Sobolovsky said in the Shir, disagree with the Rosh. It's not really true, though. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch and Lubavitchers do this. The Alter Rebbe said that you should write a Prisbal before Rosh Hashanah of Erev Shviyas. The Rebbe was very into this, to write a Prisbal before Rosh Hashanah of, before the beginning of the Shemitah year. There is a steer in the Kshuvos of the Chassam Sofer, whether or not this should be done. The Chassam Sofer, I believe in Siman Nun, recommends doing it. Another tshuva, the Chassam Sofer says that I spent all my time with my Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler. Reb Nosson Adler didn't do this. It sounds like the Chassam Sofer is saying not to be choshish for the Rosh. The Minhag in Yerushalayim, Shai Schechter pointed out, the Minhag in Yerushalayim is that they told the Bnei HaYeshiva that before Shemitah begins, the Rosh Hashanah of Erev Shviyas, you're supposed to do a Prisbal Al Peh, a verbal Prisbal, but when it comes to Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, then you should write your Prisbal. So you should do two. You should do Prisbal Al Peh before Shemitah begins, and then on Shemitah, before Rosh Hashanah of Motzai Shviyas, as it were, you're supposed to do a written Prisbal. Whether Prisbal helps Alper or not, Lamaisa, is a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber paskins that a Prisbal Alper only works with Talmidei Chachamim. The Ramah sounds like it works for everybody. In other words, according to the Ramah, you do not have to actually write the Nusach of Prisbal. There's a number of other quick halachos about Prisbal. Maybe we'll talk about these after. Yeah, you had a question?
I just wanted to know why it's going to be in your channel, not just to write it both times.
Why the Minyan Rishon is not to write it both times? I mean, again, it could be that people were just choshish, that's mutzi laz and doros harishon. If you assume that you shouldn't have additional chumras that other people didn't do because you're saying that people weren't so frum beforehand, so that's why you try to hide your chumras. So hiding the chumra, you that you say the prisbal rather than writing it. Fine. There's a number of dinim in prisbal which are very important. One halacha is that you have to have karka in order to write prisbal. The lova, the person who borrowed, has to have karka. If he doesn't have karka, you can't write prisbal. The question is, what about writing prisbal in yeshiva? What are you supposed to do then? So Rav Sobolovsky mentioned that years ago, the clear in yeshiva used to be whether the lockers are considered that you have karka or not. If guys have lockers, there's a whole discussion. Rav Sobolovsky also mentioned that when he was in high school, he went to OTI, which doesn't exist anymore. Rav Riskin was the Rosh Yeshiva there, and Rav Riskin was makna to all the boys in yeshiva a chelak in Efrat, so that they could write a prisbal, because it's Efrat. For a prisbal, even though we need a bezdin, we're very make on the status of the bezdin, krovim, relatives can write a prisbal. You can even write a prisbal balayla. We paskin, we mentioned before that a chol for 10 years, Shemitah is not Mishamit. There's a machlokas between the Rashash and the Bach, however, about what about a chol for 30 days, is Shemitah going to be Mishamit or not? Do I assume that this din of Stam Halva or Lamed Yom is the same as a chol for 10 years that Shemitah is not Mishamet. Again, that means if I lent money within the last 30 days of the year, is Shemitah not going to nullify it? Because since the loan is not due until the year is over, maybe Shemitah won't nullify it. The last halacha that we mentioned, which is very important, is that Shemitah only nullifies loans, but other sort of obligations, hakafas chanus, if you have a bill across the street in Just Kosher, or the equivalent, so hakafas chanus shemitah is not mishamet. However, once it's zakfa olav b'milva, once they make it into a loan, which is a machlokas harishonim, what that means. Either that means that they add up the cheshbon, or it means that they send you a bill. Right, zakfa olav b'milva, at that point, it does become a halva'a, and shemitah is mishamet a halva'a. Okay, so this is the end of Rav Saba Al-Sishay. Question?
Yeah, Shemitah is not
Mishamet
unless it's due, and then the suffix is
of
Stam
Havah
30 days, or?
Right, Shemitah is not Mishamet unless the
Chov
is due before
then,
Rosh Hashanah.
That's the suffix of
Stam Havah 30 days. Does that mean that just like a loan for 10 years, it's not going to be due until after Shemitah, Shemitah won't knock off, maybe Stam Havah also? Or it could be that Stam Havah, the Pshat is, it's due right away, but there's a special Isser that I can't demand the money from you within 30 days. That's a sugya. I think we're learning Baba Basra in Yeshiva next year. So Baba Basra Daf Hey is an important sugya that comes up. Good?
For the Rosh, yeah. When you write the, if you were to write the Chosma at the beginning of the Shemitah year, that would, and it would, I guess it would take care of low egos, but it would also...
So the thing is, if I write a prosbol early, it works for all chovos before that prosbol. It doesn't work for the chovos after that prosbol.
So the end of that year would be mishamed.
So the end of the year would be mishamed, perhaps those chovos which I made during the Shemitah year. Any loan I made during Shemitah would be mishamed, yeah.
What was the tnai again for listening to the Shemitah?
Okay, the tonight from Lukas Yom Shterbach is like this, that if the halacha is that prosba only works befanav, so I'm giving my chovas to this bezin in front of me, this bezin of three regular guys in Yeshivat HaRetzion, I guess. However, if the halacha is that prosba works even shalom befanav, like the Mordechai says, so then I want to be most of my chovos to the bezin HaGadol Yerushalayim, to the biggest Rabbanot bezin around, and the three people who are signing Vataras Eid and not Vataras Dayanim. That's Rav Lichtenstein's Chap. So it's a Tanai that you could get both the Mordechai and the Ran. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
What's the source for Moser Shtarlu based in Dereis?
What it says Moser, so the Gemara says Lo Yigos Esrei Ehu, the Sifrei says, so Lo Yigos Esrei Ehu, I cannot demand, but Bezdin can demand the Chov. So once I'm most of the Shtarvus to Bezdin, so I'm not demanding, the Chov Bezdin is demanding. How exactly that works in Lomdis is advanced Talmud, but that's the Pashtus. Pashtus is that once I'm most of the Shtarvus to Bezdin, I'm not demanding it, so then that's not the Isra of Lo Yigos. Good. The most contemporary halacha shir I think that we've ever had was given on September 4th of the year 2008. Rabbi Willig spoke about the Rabbi Heinemann oven. It was the most contemporary shir because 2 days before, on September 2nd, the New York Times carried an article about Sabbath mode ovens. Right? Now, the basic issue over here really began long before September 2nd, really began hundreds and hundreds of years ago, when the Gemara in Bava Kamma and Sanhedrin, right, was written. But just to get a sense of the issue, a Sabbath mode oven works like this. Most of the ovens that we have today are electronically controlled. Now, the ovens also have a certain shutoff, that when an oven has been on for 12 hours or so, in order to make sure that your house doesn't burn down, the company has the oven automatically shut off. That's a standard oven. Sabbath mode really doesn't do anything for Sabbath, because for Shabbos, it doesn't do very much. We'll talk, actually, there's one thing that it does accomplish on Shabbos itself. But the main issue is that for Yontif, if I want to cook on Yontif, so I want my oven to be on for more than 12 hours, sometimes you have a 2-day Yontif, 3-day Yontif even, right? You want the oven to be on for a very long time, what are you going to do? Right? What are you going to do to have the oven on for so long? So you have to override that 12-hour shutoff. That's one thing. Now, Sabbath mode also makes it that whenever I open the oven door, so it doesn't shut off the entire oven. In an ordinary oven situation, when I open the door, the entire oven gets shut off. On Sabbath mode, it doesn't get shut off. That helps for Shabbos as well. In some of the newer ovens, when you open the door, the entire oven goes off. And that would create a big problem because what are you going to do? Right? You want to take food out on Shabbos. So Sabbath mode is essential to use for Shabbos, and no one is talking about that. The issue that became a machlokas among the poskim was, can I adjust the settings on the Sabbath mode oven? Now, Rabbi Heineman, for years, worked with the Whirlpool Corporation to... Yeah? What I mean is like this. Rabbi Heineman worked with the Whirlpool Corporation to establish, most of the ovens have a digital read that tells you how many degrees, what's the temperature inside the oven. So let's say I start Yontif, my oven's at 250. Later on, as Yontif progresses, I want to raise the temperature. Now we assume that there's some Isser, probably an Isser Drabbanan involved in changing a digital setting. If I'll push the button, it'll go from 250 to 275, that would be some sort of Isser Drabbanan of Kosev, Makiv HaPatish, some Isser Drabbanan involved that just changed the setting. So what Rabbi Heineman arranged with the Whirlpool Corporation is that when I put on Sabbath mode, the display, nothing gets displayed. So I put on Sabbath mode, what happens is I can adjust the temperature up or down, but you don't see anything. That's one issue. That's a big tikkun. The other issue that Rabbi Heineman...
So the pressing the button isn't the problem.
So pressing the button, nothing is noticeable when I press the button. I know, I have to keep track about how many degrees it is. At the beginning of Yom Tov, I know it's 250. I press the button once, it goes up 25 degrees, now it's 275. Right, so I have to keep track of what the temperature is, but nothing is noticeable. But the biggest kunst that Rav Heineman had is the way all of this works is with a time delay, which is a pesek zman yosem mitoch kedei dibur. Toch kedei dibur is what, 3 seconds? Maybe a little bit less. Shalom alecha rabbi. Shalom alecha rabbi amur, if you want to be a machmir. Right? So it's what? 3 seconds. 2 seconds. So I push the button. Nothing happens right away. But 3 seconds later, the temperature goes up 25 degrees. Now, what this cheshbin that...
First of all, is there a binyan problem, combination circuits? And second of all, is that what that's avoiding? And if not, what is it avoiding?
Okay, so we have to talk about all of the issues. What it's trying to avoid is, yeah, the isser of binyan. Okay, that's a pretty big tikkun. Trying to avoid this opinion. Since nothing is noticeable, everything happens after, that's okay. But nosaf al kach, the big issue over here is I am playing with electronics on Yontif. We assume that there's some iser involved. Binyin, makev patish, midrabanan, there's some iser involved. Moled. But because there's a time delay involved, the cheshbon that Rav Heineman has, and this is in the packets that Rabbi Willa gave out, the last 3 pages of the package of Heineman's articles, because there's a time delay, it's called grumma. Now, what's the halacha of grumma? Grumma is a machlokas in the Mishnah in Shabbos on Daf Kufchaf, where the gram kibbuy is mutter asur. The case is if there's a fire, and I'm going to put some barrels full of water, so that when the fire gets to the barrels will explode and the water will come out and extinguish the fire. It's a machlokas hatanoim in the Mishnah is that mutter, also machlokas Reb Yossi and the Rabbanan. Now, halacha lemaisa, the mechaber paskins that gram kibuy is mutter. So if you're a Sfaradi, in this case, it's good to go. But Ashkenazim have a chumra that the Ramah, the end of Simon Shin Lamedal with paskins that gram kibuy is only mutter b'makom pseida. So if there's a real hefsid involved, then Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, not only a hefsid, but if there's some sort of chola situation, also will be meikol. Okay, b'seder. So gram kibui, right, grumma, of kibui, or and the Bir Halacha points out the end of Shin Lamed Aleph, it's not only kibui, but any malacha, grama by any malacha, is mutter b'makom hefsid. The reason why it's any malacha is because that gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Chaf extends it. The gemara brings a raya based on the pasuk. The Torah says, lo sasa kol malacha, the asiyahu da aser, ha grama shari. It's mutter if I do it ayyidei grama. So therefore, as long as I'm not directly doing it, we assume that there's only going to be an iser d'rabbanon. And b'makom pseido, they don't institute that iser d'rabbanon. That's the psak of the Ramah by all malachos. The Mishnah Brura in the Bir Halacha even quotes that we pass in that grama by all malachos is mutter, even if I'm mechavim lekach. I have in mind, this is what I want to do. I want to do this malacha ayyidei grama. I want the oven to go on in 2 seconds. Right? Ayyidei some sort of time delay. So that's going to be mutter. Any malacha, that's one chiddush. Next chiddush is that even if I'm a chavein. The second chiddush is a little bit debatable because the Shotei HaGiborim in Maseches Shabbos disagrees. And the Shotei HaGiborim says that we are not going to be meko on grama when I have kavana. Okay, but we'll talk about that Shotei HaGiborim a little bit later. Okay, so far we have the psak of the Mechaber and the Ramah in Shabbos. So what does this help? L'maisa, most situations it's not Makom Seida. So the answer is on Yontif, it's a big help. Because in Simen Tav Kuf Yud Dalet, the Ramah has the following case. If there is I'm allowed to put a nair behind the door, says the Ramah, when the wind is not blowing yet, knowing that in a few minutes the wind is going to start to blow and the candle will go out. Correct, the Magen Avraham, how is that permitted? That's grama. And grama's only mutter b'makayim pseida. That's the Magen Avraham's kash on the Rama. So the Achronim answer that, you know what? Grama on Shabbos is mutter b'makayim pseida. But on Yontiv, grama is mutter sof pasuk. On Yontiv, grama is mutter. This is quoted by the Shar HaTzion in Simen Tav Kuf Yud Dalet Sifkot and Lamed Aleph. Grama is mutter on Yontiv. The cheshbon for this is, Rav Heinemann points out, that Shabbos, because it's an Isser Skila, we're more machmir. We're only going to be mekel b'makom pseida. Yontiv, it's only an Isser Lav. So therefore, we'll be more mekel.
How is there not a muksa
issue? So apparently, because this is mutter. On Yontiv, it's mutter. Grama's mutter. So what's the Isser Muksa?
So it's very much leaning towards saying that this is Yontiv. So it's going to be Shotei Gevurah. Meaning, how could it even be on Shabbos without Muksa?
Right. So in terms of Shabbos, it's going to be very hard. There's some sort of Isser Muksa involved, the Pashtus, in addition to everything. Shabbos is only mutter b'makom seida, and therefore there might be some Isser Muksa, correct? I don't know if you have to get involved in the Shotei HaGiborim for this. The Shotei HaGiborim we'll talk about later. But on Yontiv, l'chora it's mutter. So the big tikkun that Rabbi Heinemann has on these ovens is not so nogeya for Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not really going to be able to adjust the temperature. It's called Sabbath mode, but it's a lie. It's really Yontiv mode. Right? For Shabbos, it only helps I could open the door for the oven and the oven won't go off. That's all it helps for on Shabbos. But on Yontiv, it could be a tremendous tikkun because it's grama, and we're assuming that grama on Yontiv is mutter even if it's not makom seida. Yeah.
Isn't your halacha completely against Ramah?
The Bir Halacha?
Completely against Ramah.
Why?
Is he saying that you're allowed to have mutter gram kiboy kavana, no?
Gram kiboy?
Oh, he's mutter to have grama on any halacha, the kavana, no?
That's not against the Ramah. The Ramah's only talking about kiboy. But the Bir Halacha is saying, really, it applies to everything, because the case in the Gemara is about kibbutz.
Our chumra is only saying me'ikar adin,
it's mutter
on all of them, and then
me'ikar adin, it's mutter on everything, but b'makom pseida, right, will be right. Me'ikar adin, it's mutter. It's only, or there's some sort of issur d'rabbanan only on grama, and that issur d'rabbanan is relaxed b'makom pseida. But that's true in all malachos. By all malachos, it's not only by kibbutz. Yeah.
So, according to the Rabbah and Shemorah and Sparty, that you could use this on Shabbat because Grama is mutter part wash.
Mm-hmm. According to Rabbi Heinemann. Okay. Ad kan. Now. So this is the basis. This is the heter of Rav Heinemann. Now, around Shavuos time, the world of Pashkavilim started getting involved. Pashkavilim are these signs that they hang up like in Mei Sha'arim that say that so and so is a chamor, roazonos, or whatever they write over there. Right. So around Shavuos, there was a number of kol kores that came out. First, Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael, they went to Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yashiv asered the Rav Heinemann ovens. Rav Moshe Sternbuch before him asered. Rav Moshe Sternbuch is always the first one to get involved in Nisurim, right? So in Eretz Yisrael, they asered it. And then the Rabbonim in North America also asered. Rav Belsky from Yeshivas Torah Vadas asered. Rav Shlomo Miller, who's the Rosh Kollel in Toronto, came out and asered. In addition, there's Rav Gelber, who wrote an article to aser. Many, many Rabbonim came out to say it's aser. Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita is quoted in the New York Times. He didn't sign the Kol Kore. He's quoted in the New York Times saying that although it's a great thing to try to make Shabbos, to try and make Yontif easier for people, but his personal opinion is that doesn't solve all the issues. Now, what exactly was the reason why Rav Shlomo Miller and Rav Gelber and Rav Belsky and Rav Yoshev, why they all asered? So it's not abundantly clear. They wrote in a very terse sort of way, and we have to try to unpackage what they said. Rav Shlomo Miller has one argument, which is pretty clear. His argument is that grumma means that there's a delay before anything happens. But in this case, the second I push the button on the computer, something happens. The delay of Yosef Mikvei Dibor is only before the temperature rises. But the second I push the button, the computer chip has some microprocessor that records the information that I want it to go up 25 degrees. So something happens right away. So it's not grumma. Rav Heinemann says, whoa! Rav Heinemann says, that's not a taina, because the halacha never concerns itself with stuff that's not noticeable to the naked eye. Right? Rav Heinemann says, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that you have these tiny little bugs and they're all going to be mutter, even though it seems to the naked eye like there's something there, but if the naked eye doesn't see the antennas and it doesn't see that it moves and doesn't see the feet, so it's mutter, right? And the halacha by a sefer Torah is if the naked eye doesn't see that the letters are stuck together, it's mutter. So Rav Heinemann said, right, the naked eye doesn't see it, so it's mutter. Rav Shlomo Miller said, no. The naked eye over here, everybody knows that this is what's going on. First of all, that's the way the malacha is done. This is an important ha'ara that Rav Shlomo Miller had. Grumma might only be mutter in a situation that you're doing something in an atypical sort of way. But the way people cook today is by pushing buttons on ovens, and ovens have microprocessors, and there's always this delay built in. Right? There's always some sort of delay. You never see something right away. That's exactly the type of oven that Rav Heinemann put out. If that's always the way it's done, so therefore it's going to be usher. Similarly, Rav Gelber quoted that Rabbi Yashiv said that this is like Choresh Bishar Ubachamar. Even though technically the Malach of Charisha might be like what they did in China, that you stand on with your foot on a little thing and you like make holes in the ground. But Bishar Ubachamar, that's the normal way of doing it. Therefore, the Rambam says that's going to be an Isser, even though I'm not doing it, B'yadayim. What? Okay, so in order to explain that, we're going to have to unpackage a little bit more. We'll have to go through the sugyas of grumma, which we'll do in a second. The basic cheshbon is that grumma is I'm doing something in an atypical way. If the malacha is always done al yedei grumma, then I'm chayiv.
Is it tziruf to his first answer for Raymond, that it's not really a delay, or is it a second answer?
It sounds like it's a second answer. Moreover, Rav Shlomo Miller quoted that Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach said that you should never rely on grumma to do something in a permanent sort of way. The basic cheshbin is that we're worried about hirus gadol v'shmiras Shabbos. That's what he says. You're going to destroy Shabbos. Because you could do everything Ayidei Grama. Rav Moshe Shternbach has a nusach to the fact of that there are these Mizrahi Rabbonim who instituted a whole machon to come up with Grama machines, and it's going to be a terrible thing. It will destroy all of Shabbos. Fine.
I don't mean to take this off topic, but according to Reinemann, like e-commerce would also be fine on Shabbos.
E-commerce would be fine. Well, how are you logging on?
No, you have a business that's making money, selling stuff, shipping books, but you're not seeing it. It's all taking place on the computer.
And that's a big issue. My friend Josh Flug wrote an article about this. Rabbi Heinemann wrote an article about this in Kashrus Currents. That would take us off topic. The issue over there is in terms of there might be an Isser Mekachu Memker B'Sheval Tai, so it could be that selling stuff is going to be also even if you don't see anything, if it all happens B'Sheval Tai. The svara that's be mako by e-commerce on Shabbos is because everything is done with credit cards, and credit card companies are there used to be something in America called credit cards until the economy collapsed, and credit card companies don't register sales over the weekend. The problem is going to be Yontif, when Yontif falls on the middle of the week. That's going to be the big issue. But Josh Flug wrote a lot about this. Okay.
Where?
In the RGJ Journal, like 2 years ago.
Rabbi Alcorn also
wrote something about this, yeah. Fine. So now, basically what we have to do over here is we have to define what is considered grammar. You see, until now we haven't said anything. This is not Rabbi Willig's shir even yet. This is just what Rav Heinemann said, what Rav Shlomo Miller said. This is the preface to Rabbi Willig's shir. Halacha l'maaseh, though, we have to understand what's grammar. Now, in order to understand what grammar is, we have to do a few gemaras. First of all, the gemara in Bava Kamma and Daf Samach. Very important gemara. The gemara in Bava Kamma and Daf Samach says, Liba v'lipsa ruach, in the case of nezakin, if I'm blowing and the wind is also blowing, so zak the gemara, im yesh b'lebuyo k'deva labosa, I'm chayiv, if not, I'm putter. If my wind is capable of fanning the flame, I'm chayiv, if not, I'm putter. How's this different from the case that I winnow? Right? Winnowing is that you have the wheat with the sheaf on the board and you throw it up. You throw it up into the air, and then the wind comes and the wind knocks off the husk from the kernel. Right? The wind knocks the husk off, and we pass on Yechayev. How come Zor v'ruch m'sayasol? How's this different than Zor v'ruch m'sayasol? So it has four answers. The fourth answer, Rav Ashi, is an answer that seems to be acceptable halacha. Rav Ashi says that, Shabbos is different because Melechas Machshavas Asr Torah. So when it comes to Shabbos, I'm going to be chayiv because I have kavana to remove the chaff from it. By Nezakin, there's no special chiddush of Melechas Machshavas. By Nezakin, if I'm not doing it, I'm going to be putter. Right? If there's something helping me out, I'm going to be putter. Fine. That's the Gemara. Now, the Rishonim and the Achronim are all bothered by one simple question in that Gemara. You know, we paskin that there's a malacha called Eish. Eish means koach achem u'rivbo. Eish means that I do an action, and there's some other force that I harness, which allows my action to go to fruition. That's koach achem u'rivbo. I light a fire over here, and there's a ruach mitzuya, the wind is going, and the wind takes my fire and it burns down that desk. Koach achem u'rivbo, we pass in this chayiv. So the Rishonim ask, what exactly is the difference between koach achem u'rivbo, which is chayiv, and this other din of grama, that's pater? That's a question that they ask. Now, there are a number of answers that are given to this kasha. The Rosh in Maseches Bava Kamma says that we're making a big mistake. The Rosh says that when the Gemara says Melechas Machshavas Asr Torah, and that's why I'm chayiv in the case of winnowing, Zak the Rosh, that's a special halacha by winnowing. Since the malacha of winnowing is always done al yedei grama, that's why I'm going to be chayiv. But by the other malachos of Shabbos, I'm going to be pater on grama. Even if I have kavana, I'm going to be pater. That's what the Rosh says. They're really both grammar. They're both exactly the same. There's no difference technically between koach hachem u'rivbo and winnowing, with the wind helping me out. They're both exactly the same. The difference is that the molacha of Zora, I'm chayif with grama. But it's true only by Zora, and there's a whole literature in Acharonim based on the Rush, maybe any other malacha that ordinarily is done, al yidei grama, I'm going to be chayiv on. Right? This goes back to what you asked a few minutes ago, right? This is the svar, that's something that's ordinarily done al yidei grama, I'm chayiv for. Maybe that's the Gemara according to the Rush. That Zohar Baruch Masayasso, since it's always done ayidei grama, I always remove the chayaf with the wind, so that's why I'm chayiv. So therefore, people would always cook this way, I'd be chayiv. Right? Okay. That's one answer. Rashi and Baba Basra on Daf Chafav disagrees. Rashi and Baba Basra says that it's that when the Gemara says Malachas Machsheves Asr Torah, it's talking about all malachos, it's not only talking about Zohar. So according to Rashi, we have to figure out what is the Hagdara of Grama. Because according to Rashi, we have a big problem. When do I assume that something is like Eish, that Koach Hachem Urevbo is enough for me to be Chayiv? And when do I assume that it's Grama and I should be Pater? Which is which? Right? For the Rush, it's not a Kasha. It depends on the Malacha. But for Rashi, it's a very strong Kasha. So there's basically two mahalchem, maybe three mahalchem, to answer this kasha. One mahalach is the Shilti Hagiborim. It all depends if I have kavanah or not. Very easy. No one quotes a mahalacha, but it's a very nice mahalach. If I have kavanah, I'm chayv. If I don't have kavanah, I'm pater. The two other mahalchem, though, are like this. The standard mahalach that's found in Acharonim is that grama means that the action I do now, it's like there used to be a song, Yeshivish Reg, Yeshivish Ashkraf, it's like the mice is over here and the chalos is over there. Right? That's what grama is. I do the mice now, and the chalos is later on, there's a certain time delay. So when it comes to any malacha that there is a time delay involved, that by definition is grama. If there's no time delay involved, by definition, that is not grama. So you have to plug it back into the Gemaras, that when it comes to the Eish, when it comes to the Eish, what? How does it work? Unclear. No? It's not exactly clear how this answers the question. But the Acharonim say this idea, that it's only grum if there's a time delay, but they don't really say how it answers the Gemaras. Hold it for a minute. Rav Soloveitchik, though, had a different mahalach. Rav Soloveitchik felt that, yeah, it depends on time delay, but the time delay isn't the time delay between my maisa and the result of my maisa. In order to be grama, zach derav, it's considered grama if my maisa is done now and the koach acher me'urevbo is not yet taking effect. I do a maisa now and there's no wind. The wind comes later. That's grama. But if the wind is blowing at the time that I do my ma'isa, that's considered a ma'isa b'yadayim. That's the hagdar that Rav Soloveitchik set up. According to the Rav, effectively what emerges is that whenever I set up a system, I have some other force, right, that I'm harnessing, I'm setting up a system, even if the ma'isa is going to happen years from now, or months from now, or hours from now, I could be chayiv. The fact that there's a time delay between when I do it and when it happens, that doesn't change anything. So long as the force that I'm harnessing it at the zman that I do my ma'isa. If the force is harnessed later on, then I'm pater. That's grama. But if the force is harnessed at the time I do my ma'isa, then I'm going to be chayiv. Okay? So according to the Rav, the Hagdara of grama has to do with the force that I'm harnessing. If that's the case, if the Rav is correct about the Hagdara of Grama, so then the Rav Hainim and Oven is a huge problem. You have a question?
I'm sorry, I'm not catching this. What would be the opposite of the Koach having force now?
So the opposite is, let's say I light a fire, and after I light a fire, then a wind comes and blows that fire away. The wind was not blowing at the time I did my ma'isa. Right? Now, where does this come up a lot? This comes up by Shabbos clocks, for example. The basic idea of a Shabbos clock is that I have this thing that's always spinning, and when it gets to that little green button, it's going to turn the light on. No? Gets to the red one, it's going to turn it off. Right? You know, the old Shabbos clocks before. Fine. So now, according to the Rav, when I set a Shabbos clock, basically what I'm doing is I'm setting up a system that I have this thing that's spinning, and it begins to spin now. So I'm setting up a system that the light will go on later. So I'm going to be chayiv. Because I'm harnessing some other force. That force is this little wheel that's spinning around, and when that wheel hits that trigger point, the light's going to go on. So I am going to be chayiv for that. But according to the standard Mahalach and Achronim, right, there's a time delay. Right now I put the pin in. The light's not going to go on for 4 hours. So I'm not going to be chayiv. That's going to be grama. So that's a huge difference between the Rav and everybody else's hagdara of grama.
So he wouldn't allow Shabbos clocks?
What? The Rav would not allow Shabbos clocks in many, in terms of turning it on, yeah.
Even if you started it before Shabbos?
Well, if I started before Shabbos, so then everything was done before Shabbos. I'm talking about if I'm adjusting Shabbos clock on Shabbos. Yeah, yeah.
I know people adjust the Shabbos clocks on Shabbos.
What?
People adjust Shabbos clocks on Shabbos.
There are some. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in a tshuva, in Mincha Shlomo Simin Yud Gimel, that he talks about, can I adjust my Shabbos clock on Shabbos? So Rav Shlomo Zalman at first sounds like he's using the Rav's Hagdara of Grama. He says, listen, what's the difference between if I pour water, if I'm on the top of a big mountain and I pour water down, and the water's going to go down and extinguish a fire all at the bottom of the mountain. So I start a process, so I'm going to be chayiv in that case. What's the difference between that and the Shabbos clock? Later on, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, well, since the Isser of electricity is only an Isser Drabbanon, it's Kiboy on a gachelas shalmateches, it's on this drabbanon, so therefore we could be makel and assume because there's a time delay it's going to be mutter. And Rosh Hashanah permits adjusting Shabbos clocks on Shabbos to be mamshik the matzah. If the clock is on, I can adjust it to keep it on for longer. The clock is off, I can adjust it to keep it off for longer. That's all in Rosh Hashanah, it's in Simin Yud Gimel, and in the footnote, in that tshuva, Melech Shlomo, they give you the Mariam Makom and Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa where he passes this one Isaiah. Yeah.
That's the same thing with why people are not there changing the temperature on thermostat that are not visible. It's
going to
just delay the.
Right. The same type of idea. There's some sort of time delay that's involved, and whenever there's a time delay that's involved, the assumption is that's grama. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, none of this would help. Because according to Rav Soloveitchik, I'm setting up a system. Right, that is going to create a this right now. The wheels are spinning. That the malacha is going to be done later on. So it's ki'ilu. I am doing that malacha. It's like pouring the water from the top of the mountain. That's going to extinguish it later on. Time delay doesn't mean that it's not my ma'isa. So the reason to argue with Rav Heinemann's oven is if you accept Rav Soloveitchik's Hagdara of Grama. Just two more points over here. Believe me, I spent a long time trying to understand this year. This was a difficult year. Just two more points over here. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, what? People didn't die. Marv's like in three. Oh, that watch is 2 minutes
There's
slow.
There's one at 10:30.
What? There's a 10:30 Marv? Are people okay going for a few, 5 extra minutes?
I'm even
done.
Oh, there's more than one
Chazar Shir. Yeah, there'll be a few Chazar
Shir.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You thought you were in for a marathon.
Yeah.
We could do a marathon maybe next week and try to do everything else if you guys want. I'm not ready for a marathon tonight. I'm tired. Is there enough people? Should we go on? Should we stop?
Yeah, who else needs to
die? Who
else
needs to die?
Yeah,
I think
is there a
week
between
the
meeting
and
the
cadaver
after?
No.
Is there
a
10:30?
There's 8 people. There are 8 people didn't daven. Is it 10:30 101?
Yeah.
Okay. Stay there. So let's just continue going. We'll go for a few more minutes. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells a story about a Bitko Demaya. Basically, a Bitko Demaya is a dam. and there's water up against the dam, and what you do is you tie, I guess you don't say, you're not tying your friend up there, you're tying your enemy up next to the dam, and then you're going to go and undo the dam, and the water is going to sweep down and kill him. So the Gemara in Daf Ayin Zayin and Sanhedrin is mechavetin koach rishon and koach sheni. Koach rishon is chayiv misa. I get put to death for that. Koach sheni, I'm not chayiv misa. What is koach rishon? What is koach sheni? Rashi learns in Maseches Sanhedrin, koach rishon means I'm karov, and koach sheni means I'm rachok ktsas. That's the sheet of Rashi. The Yad Rama disagrees with Rashi. The Yad Rama says that Koach Rishon means the pent-up water, the water that's mamish right up against the dam, against the wall. That's Koach Rishon. And Koach Sheni is the water that was further back. And then the Yad Rama gives a second pshat, and the Yad Rama says both pshatim are correct. You put them both together and they're both correct. The Yad Rama's second pshat is that Koach Rishon means that the water just flows without being mafsik before it gets the guy. And koach sheni means it's mafsik before it gets the guy. That the water kind of stops for a second before it runs the guy over. Okay, so that's a machlokas between Rashi and the Yad Rama. According to Rashi, the definition of koach rishon is karov, and koach sheni means rachok. The Yad Rama says, well, it's first water versus second water, and it also depends if the water is going straight or there's like a bit of a stop on the water before it gets to the guy. Perhaps this issue is the machlokas also between the Rav and the other Achronim. I think this is what Rabbi Wallig meant. According to the Rav, the Hagdar, according to the other Achronim, according to Rav Heinemann, let's say, the Hagdar of Grama is simple, time delay. That sounds like Rashi. Koach Rishon is what happens right away, instantaneously. Koach Sheni is Rachok Tzas. If it's further away, there's going to be a bit of a delay. So a bit of a delay, that's Grama, then I'm going to be Potter.
So in the case in the Gemara, the reason why you might be Potter is because there isn't enough water close to the wall to drown the person?
According to the Rama?
And I just have to get higher?
Yeah. I mean, again...
The more water comes in, the higher it goes?
I guess so, yeah. That's how the Rama is going to understand the Gemara. According to Rashi, the Gemara means just, am I close or am I further? But according to the Rama, it depends how much water there was.
The Yad Rama, the Koach Sheni, in the case of the pent-up water is being Koach Rishon.
The question is the water that's not pent up, it's the water behind it even. The water that's right up against the dam is Koach Rishon. The water that's further upstream is Koach Sheni. So it could be that according to the Rama, according to Rashi, the other Achronim are correct. The only issue is time delay. If it's further away, that's Koach Sheni. Closer by, it's Koach Rishon, I'm Chayiv. But according to the Rama, maybe the Rav's Hagdara is correct. Now, let's just talk for 2 minutes about the Rav's Hagdara. Rav Willig is inclined that the Rav's Hagdara is correct. Therefore, you shouldn't rely on the Rav Heinemann ovens, because if I push the button, now I'm setting up a system that the temperature will go up 25 degrees in 2.3 seconds. So that's not considered Grama, because I'm setting up the system right now. Fine. The problem that we have, though, is that the Rav's Hagadara of Grama is against the Beferish Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Hayashem Kosava Basara. The Gemara makes a tzushtel, a connection between Grama by Shabbos and Grama by other demon. Let's say the Shem Hashem is written on my skin. Shem Kosava Basara. And I want to go to the mikvah. Right, so there's a machlokes also between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Am I allowed to go to the mikvah? And the Gemara assumes it should be the same machlokes about Grama. That's Gram Mechikas Hashem. Now, if the Rav is correct, so that case is not a Grama at all. Because the second I go into the mikvah, I go into the water, I'm setting up a system that water is going on my body. I have ink on my skin. I'm setting up a system that with time, the ink will be erased. So that's not grumma. I established a system that the ink will be erased right away. So if that's the case, how could the Gemara discuss grumma in the context of Hayashem Kosov Abbasaro? It seems like it's a befeirish Gemara. This is what Rabbi Willig asks in the Beis Yitzchak article, which is in his Makoros. It's a befeirish Gemara against the Rav's Yisod. Bam Kasha. So, Enfert Rabbi Willig, you have to use the Shulte HaGiborim also. Rabbi Willig wanted to say like this. He wanted to say that really there are Tzvei Dinim. There are two different types of grammas in the world. If I have kavana for what I'm doing, like the Rabbi Heinemann oven case, so then the Rav is correct. Then it depends, am I harnessing the force right now, or am I not harnessing the force right now? Is the wind blowing at the time I do the mice or not? That's the hagdara of grammar. However, if I don't have kavana, for example, this guy who's going to the mikvah with the Shem Hashem, you think he really wants to erase the Shem Hashem? No. He wants to go to the mikvah because he's tameh. So if I don't have kavana, even if it's a psik reshe, then, Rabbi Willig said, we use the other hagdar of grama, the classical time delay, the difference between my maisa and the chalos of my maisa. Based on this, you can answer the kasha, says Rabbi Willig, but how do you walk into your house during the winter? No? When I walk into the house during the winter, I open the door. So my house is, what, 71 degrees? I think they say you're not supposed to leave your thermostat more than 68, no? My house is 68 degrees. I open the door. There's going to be a rush of cold air that goes in, and that causes the balls to roll, which causes the burner to heat up to add 2 degrees. Because the cold air comes in, I have to add heat. How do I do that? I'm starting the system right now. It's not grama, right? According to the Rav's Hagdara. Teretz is, says Rabbi Willig, the teretz is that, you know what? That's not a case where you have kavana. When you open the door to your house, you don't have kavana that you want the burner to increase, to add more heat to the house. You want to get into the house. It's a psik reshe. Oh, if it's no kavana, so then we use Rabbi Heinemann's definition of grama instead of Rav Soloveitchik's definition of grama. That's the chiddush that Rabbi Willig had in this shiur.
And this would be psik reshe, is that equal kavana?
Psik reshe, by definition, is not kavana. Even if Rabbi Chonin is right according to one side, the psik reshe, it's ki'ilu mechavein, but l'mais, I'm not mechavein. Yeah. So that's the chiddush that Rabbi Willig had. The last piece that Rabbi Willig mentioned in the shiur is just a discussion about whatever is not near Ala'inayim, that the halacha doesn't bother itself with. He gave a Ma'ar Makom in the Encyclopedia Talmudit that has a few makoros on that topic. It's kedai to look at, because that was also involved in Rabbi Heinemann's discussion. But basically, this is a summary of Rabbi Willig's shiur. Any questions? What?
That's great.
Shkoyach.
The kids in Shabbos with the background kibbutz, the barrel, what's happening? They're going to catch on fire.
Well, by the fire will hit the barrel, and because these are new barrels, the fire will crack them open, and then the water will come out and extinguish the fire.
When you put them there, there's zero effect of the fire on the barrels.
When I put them there, the fire is not there yet. You know the fire is traveling there. Okay. Right? That's why the hemshech of that discussion in Shulchan Aruch, because let's say there's a fire on one side of my tablecloth, am I allowed to pour water on the other side of the tablecloth? That might be a shayla of libon in addition to kibbutz. Okay, Rabbosai, so these are the first two shiurim. These are actually two of the more difficult shiurim. We'll have to continue later on.
What do you